Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So welcome to the New Cyber Frontier. Today we're on with the mayor of Westminster, Colorado, Herb Atchison. So welcome, Herb, and thanks for joining today.
Good morning.
Yeah, it is still morning, huh? We're up bright and early here today.
Well, so far.
You're the mayor of Westminster.
Correct.
So tell me about your background. How did you get to be mayor? What did you always want to be a politician?
No.
And you said before we started that if you ever want to get into politics, make sure everybody in your family is okay with you?
Absolutely, because your family becomes very integrated in anything you do in politics, and they are at the scrutiny of anybody who wants to check into what you're doing.
Yeah.
But it's a family commitment. I originally started out through what the city has, boards and commissions.
Uh-huh.
And I was originally asked to apply for one of the boards, and I did that. I served on my first board for about 16 years, and then I was recruited to run for an opening on city council. I was fortunate enough that the voters felt confidence in me and I got elected to city council. I served two terms. I left because of term limits, stayed off for 6 years, came back and ran for council.
Mm-hmm.
And during my third term, the previous mayor was term limited and left, and I ran for the mayor's position, and I've been there almost 4 years now.
Okay. Interesting. So how big is Westminster?
Westminster is approximately about 115,000.
Okay. When you drive in, it's kind of off the side of the highway here, and you don't see the whole entirety of it. It's
no,
kind of spread
and
out.
We're split between two counties and three school districts
Okay. Here
in Westminster. We're both in Adams and Jefferson County. U.S. 36 that goes to Denver to Boulder, you
mm-hmm.
know, up into the Lions and there, Rocky Mountain National Park, goes through Westminster, as does I-25 and Highway 76 in portions. So we've got a lot of large highway traffic that comes through Westminster, but we enjoy it. We're about halfway between Boulder and Denver and makes a good location.
Yeah. So what's the hardest thing you ever had to deal with as an elected official in general?
Telling somebody no.
That's got to happen all the time, right?
No, you try not to. I mean, you try to be as helpful as you can, but you can't solve everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's concerning because you would like to solve everything. But I think that the difference between a municipal elected official and, let's say, a state elected official,
mm-hmm.
I think we're much more able to resolve citizens' problems on a local basis than at the state. By our charter, we're supposed to be nonpartisan, which is helpful. Does that mean partisan politics are totally out of it? No, there's still people's political beliefs, and that's okay. But it doesn't take two big houses of legislation. It
mm-hmm.
takes four votes in most municipalities to get something done. And we're more easily available to responding to citizens on issues that they have that are within the control of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need a big vote. We don't have to go to the state legislature to get bills passed. We can make some of that policy ourselves. But council is primarily setting a policy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't oversee the day-to-day operations of the city. We have a city manager for that.
Yeah. Do you see, like, you watch the federal news and you see the kind of the partisan politics
mm-hmm.
cause a deadlock. Do you have that at this level as well?
No, I don't think so. I think we're much more in tune with what's going on in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Within the city of Westminster, we're not like everybody else. We don't have wards and districts, so every member of the council is elected at large. That means you represent everybody in the city, regardless what part of the city they live in or you live in. And that means you're available to everybody,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be responsive to everybody. And I think the citizens of Westminster, since the charter was first established, appreciate that because it is that important that you don't have to go seek out one council member. You can seek out any of the six council members or the mayor.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack.
Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Interesting. So we met at the National Cybersecurity Center inaugural event. Mm-hmm. And bring on a couple people that went through the training or, you know, were involved to kind of understand what they got out of it and, you know, what they see in cybersecurity for, you know, your area. Obviously, an elected official, you have a bigger view, at least of your area, than most people would. What is your knowledge or experience in, you know, probably before the NCC event with cybersecurity?
Well, I have a background in working in the government industry, not only here at the municipal level, but also the state and national level in my previous work as a consultant. And the access that people have to the internet, to people's email, getting into materials, I dealt a lot with classified work. So I understand the importance of being able to secure that work. And even today, something as simple as transmitting medical records, mm-hmm. is so easy for someone to potentially get into that and misuse that information, or into anything and misuse information. We saw a lot of that potential in the last election, of what was or wasn't going on, how, what kind of hacking's going on. Just this morning, we received another alert that a phishing piece was going on within the internet and within people's email. It's too easy to get into someone's other private materials, whether it's at the government level or at the personal level, and misuse that information.
Mm-hmm.
I attended the National Security Cybersecurity Conference in Colorado Springs recently at the invite of Mayor Southers down there, because he and I have had this discussion for over a year of what kind of things are going on in the cyber world and mm-hmm. how do we protect ourselves. I think Westminster has been very fortunate. Our IT department stays up on what's going on in cybersecurity. They attend a lot of the workshops and stuff around the country and try to keep us as a city as protected as possible. Can we protect ourselves from everything? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's going on in Congress today is Congress is trying to set the standards for cybersecurity. That's not going to get done soon enough. The problem is that we still have stuff that's being penetrated or misused today. I think what we will see, based on the support that the governor provided to this, bringing this to Colorado Springs, setting up the Cybersecurity Center down there, making this the first of its kind in the United States, is going to be a catalyst to looking at more control of how we deal with cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just a local event, a state event, a national event, it's an international event. And how we protect ourselves from unwanted intrusions is going to be very important. But as we talked about at the conference, we need a basis to work from.
Mm-hmm.
So the federal government is in the process of setting those standards, which then the industry will take a look at and see how they need to tweak them. But with anything in, that has to go through the U.S. Congress, those things take some time to go through. In the meantime, we've got to do everything we can to protect ourselves at the local level, the state, or even at the national level, while we wait to get those standards.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still working through that. I think one of the things that emphasized by those who were attending the Congress, not only from private industry, from the military, from the government agencies, municipal, with a few of the mayors that were there from Colorado, the importance of all of us understanding the risk that we have of what's happening to us. What could happen to utility systems being shut down? What can happen to our national security if this is not taken care of?
Mm-hmm.
We're a long ways from having a perfect answer, and I don't know if we'll ever have a perfect answer, but we have to do whatever we can to protect ourselves. The National Cybersecurity Center is a catalyst for starting to make that happen. Will we ever get there? I hope so. But we have to work together as industry and in government, regardless of the level of government, to make sure that we have a platform to work from that everybody can use.
Do you think that at a state level or local community, as we're looking at with the National Cybersecurity Center, it's not international, it's not federal government, we have advantages over the federal government in developing or making cybersecurity industry more proficient?
I think we have a quicker ability to turn around things. mm-hmm. because we're not having to wait for laws to be passed. I think we have the ability to go in and find responses to cybersecurity. I think we have ability to develop those. We still need to make sure that everybody can buy into them. So, and we still need to make a standard for what that means. And I think the federal government will give us that. But I think working independently with people who are in that industry, have the background and experience, have the security clearances in many cases, that can work on that. This is a very good opportunity. In one of the discussions that General Edwards and I, who is the Adjutant General for the state of Colorado,
okay,
or the...
Is it the Colorado National Guard?
The Colorado National Guard, you're correct. One of the things that they were talking about at the conference is, could we find an avenue of taking our recruits who are in the Guard, training them on the use of national security, also at the same time teaching them about cybersecurity? Well, they get that training through the Guard, but then they can take that same training back to the employer that they work for on an everyday basis.
Mm-hmm.
That would also allow them to say, look, I found something in my employer's network that looks suspicious. He could take that information back to the federal level, have them also look at it to see if there's really been an intrusion. That may head off a catastrophe. If doing that, we then get two benefits out of it. One, I have a person in the National Guard who's serving their country
mm-hmm.
on a volunteer basis, but then I have an increased employment basis for them outside of the National Guard, and the training they get from working cross-border within the private industry and in the Guard makes them a much more important employee because they get a higher level of expertise than they would just working in one side of the industry and not the other.
Yeah, and I had General Willis, the assistant mm-hmm. adjutant general, on one of my shows, and talked about the same thing, how many people they need in the Guard, because cybersecurity is the frontier that they're addressing right now. It's not guys in boots and trucks on the ground anymore. It's
that's very much correct. World. It was one of the big things, and not only did the National Guard talk about that at the conference, we had the State Department, we had the FBI, we had the CIA, we had Homeland Security. Every organization that spoke at the conference had some of the same concerns, that we don't have sufficient number of people trained in this.
Mm-hmm.
The governor made a big point in that within the state of Colorado alone, there are over 9,000 unfilled jobs dealing with cybersecurity. That's a huge employment base for us. And with the National Cybersecurity Center in Colorado Springs, we're hoping that that becomes a catalyst for bringing some of the training that we need for people more into Colorado, here in the metro area or Colorado Springs, so that we can fill those jobs. Those are quality, high-paying jobs, prime
yeah.
employment for a lot of people.
You know, with just the other day, the president signed a bill to stop hiring for government employees. I heard that that's going to cause some problems, at least in the short time, for filling a lot of those jobs, because a lot of them are at the government level.
It could be. I don't know the president's edict. In level of a detail that I can adequately respond to it. But what I would say that even if it's in the government industry, we have a short-term hiring freeze, that doesn't mean that in the private industry we're filling all those jobs. I've talked to a number of the businesses here in the metro area
mm-hmm.
Because of some other positions I hold here on committees and stuff in the metro area. It's the same problem. They can't hire people in the private industry, much less the government industry.
Mm-hmm.
So those 9,000 jobs that the governor talked about are not likely to be in government employment. It's talked about statewide in all industries.
Mm-hmm.
So this is still a big issue of being able to find qualified employees to fill those jobs.
Yeah, okay. Well, I definitely hope I work at a university, hope that our students can be, you know, put in, plugged into a lot of those jobs, because there's a lot of motivated young people looking to get into the field. But attending the NCC inaugural event, mm-hmm. what did you take away from that?
A greater understanding of what really is going on in the world of cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had my own ideas, and I had seen articles, I've seen some publications on it. We've talked about it with our IT organization. But to see the depth of expertise that is available to us, even to something as a small business that gets hacked, we talked about that. An example was a business gets hacked, whatever goes on, a lot of times they're reluctant to report that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, once they report that to a credit card company or something, all of a sudden, new credit cards show up at a person's house, and they want to know why they got a new credit card. The company says, well, there was a hack at XYZ company, and the customer never knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
part of that, I think, is a fear, because if we don't report it, then our counterparts or those who are competitors won't know that we got hacked. But that doesn't mean that they didn't get hacked as well. We have to understand that it's very important that when something like that happens, we need to report it to authorities. Starting with your local authority, talk to your local police department if something like that happens. They have the access to call in the experts at the federal level to determine how big this thing is and what kind of a threat it might be. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as getting into a small business isn't necessarily mean that it's just going to affect the small business. It could be just a probe to see how easy it is to get into something much larger. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that people feel at ease reporting something like this if it happens to them.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
If you look at things you learned there, things you saw there, mm-hmm. what was the most memorable things that you learned that you might not have known before?
I think one of the biggest things was the fact that there are so many employment opportunities in this field. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that we had that many, and I don't know that anybody that was at the conference knew before we got there of the amount of opportunity. Going into cybersecurity has a lot of background in the IT area, or computer work. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a four-year college degree. A lot of the expertise that they're looking at in there has to do with certifications.
Okay, sorry. Light timer, so we're sitting too still.
If you don't move around enough, it'll turn itself off. But I think the big part of it is there's a lot of opportunities for those who may choose to not necessarily go to a four-year school, but have an in-depth interest in computers and computer programming. Mm-hmm. These are primary jobs. They pay very well. And I have, since the conference, I have been meeting with a number of our business interests around. Mm-hmm. We've been talking to our two community colleges up here, Front Range Community College, Red Rocks Community College, and I've been meeting with the superintendents of our school districts, talking to some of our organizations up here. How do we do things like find opportunities for kids who are not going to go to the school as a four-year traditional college, but might be interested in something like this? But we're also looking at apprenticeship programs. We're trying to find other avenues for the kids so that they can find viable employment, don't necessarily have to wait till they graduate from a four-year college, and also they don't necessarily have to come out of this with a huge amount of debt. There are a lot of opportunities. Going back to General Edwards and the Guard, here's an opportunity you might consider. If a student in high school were to potentially sign up for a deferred enlistment, mm-hmm. go ahead, get into the Guard. There may be, we haven't worked this out yet, but in some early discussion with them, there may be an opportunity that the Guard would help with tuition. Go in and get this training. Go in and serve your 2 weeks a year and your 1 week in a month. Get that education. Get it paid for through tuition reimbursement. Mm-hmm. Get the certifications you need. And then that also, as we talked about at the conference, one certification alone, if you look, two compatible employees, one has a certain certification in the industry, the other one doesn't, could mean as much as $10,000 to $12,000 difference in annual income just by a certificate. Not by a college degree, but by a certificate. That gives a lot of opportunities for other people to get into this industry as well. And the number of jobs open in Colorado is just a small part of what's available throughout the country in this. There are companies that are all across the board in the nation that are looking for it, and not only looking for people to work here in the United States, but offers opportunities for international travel working in this industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of, I hear the same thing, and definitely work in the same area trying to educate younger people into, you know, getting employed. So the NCC event that you attended,
right.
Would you recommend to other elected officials that that's something they should have said to the next one?
Because this was the inaugural event, I think it was well invited. I think there was a good dispersion between government, private industry, and a few elected officials. As I talked to Mayor Southers after the meeting, and I spoke with the governor as well, we need to reach out to make this information known as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, understanding this was a stand-up year. There is funding that was made available through the governor to start this. And through the process that's going on at the legislature right now, will he be able to fund it even bigger in 2017? Well, mm-hmm. that's waits to be seen until we get a budget passed. Because of the importance of this and the risk it is to us as a country, yes, I certainly think that it needs to be expanded, or at least the opportunity to attend and learn about it needs to be expanded.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the first part is we've got to get a good understanding of what is it we're trying to do. I think we need to get the standards from the federal level down so that NCC knows what they're supposed to be working to. We may exceed the standards, but at least we need some ground level basis to work from.
Yeah.
That's going to take time. But in the meantime, I've already seen advertisements coming in from the NCC about other opportunities coming in that are being dispersed throughout the country right now to learn more about what the NCC does and what they can offer to you.
Mm-hmm.
Individual companies, corporations, municipal governments, county governments, state governments. We had people at the last conference from several states that mm-hmm. came in, but not necessarily elected officials, more from the private and government industries. So we need to expand that knowledge base, or at least give them the opportunity. If they choose not to attend, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can send it to them electronically because there's travel restrictions, whatever that is. There's other methods to get it out other than having to come to a particular meeting. Maybe we can podcast the information that's being expanded there and give opportunity for them to hear what's being discussed. There's a lot of opportunity through the media for that to happen. But to your original question, yes. Local governments, I think, is where we'll start to make that change.
Yeah.
And make it most easily.
So you were talking about funding from the mm-hmm. federal government or from the state government.
From the state.
I've been involved with a lot of efforts in cybersecurity. And the one thing that is always seems to be missing is a way to fund and sustain them mm-hmm. if federal government or state government cannot or pulls back on the budget and whatever. And I've seen those organizations just have a lot of hype when there's funding. Everybody comes to the table when there's food. But then when that dries up, there's not really a plan for a return on investment for those type of organizations. Do you have any recommendations or thoughts about how that can be done with our efforts in Colorado?
I think what Colorado is doing a starting point. Now, I don't think the intent is that the state government or the federal government continue to fund this alone.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be a partnership between the businesses, the local government, state, and national. Starting it is one thing, as we did this past year at the conference, but I think that we have to have partners in this that are outside of just the government in order to keep it funding. Because as ebb and flows go of the economy, as taxes and stuff increase or decrease, we see shifts in where you have to put your money in the state and federal level. We can't sustain something if we're not sure we can get funding every year after year.
Mm-hmm.
We need commitments from other partners to help keep this going.
So do you think, though, it's a donation basis, or is there a way to turn this into a positive cash flow effort?
I think that there is, in the future, depending upon those who you get involved on an initial basis, I think there's a lot of smart people that came to that conference, and I think given the opportunity to sit down with them and look for ways to find sustainable mm-hmm. funding, I think is very important. I don't recall all the industry that was there, but there was some pretty big industry that was sitting there talking to us at the conference last year.
Yeah. I just, once again, from experience with the industry, mm-hmm. it has feast and famine. And whenever the economy goes bad, a lot of times the mm-hmm. cyber infrastructure is the first thing you can kind of cut almost like as a fat. Well, we can get away without taking our vitamins for a while. We're not going to get sick right away. That type of thing. So, and these organizations, these efforts will get funded highly, but then really fizzle out later on because of that.
And I think that's a problem because as you and I discussed and we talked about at the conference, security of our cyber system and what goes on is something that doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
That risk is with us every day, all day long, and won't go away as long as we have people trying to do something they shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that that risk is worth investing in. And we have to do whatever we can to make sure that the platform that we're working from, the technical knowledge of the industry, people working in the industry, that doesn't need to be at the whim of what happens with a budget. We have to have something that's sustainable. Some of that can come from private industry, some of that could come from grants and donations, some of it come from state and federal government. But I think the intent that the governor did with starting this in Colorado was for it to be a catalyst that goes to other places other than just Colorado. Mm-hmm. Other states will get on board. Once we do that, you're not looking at one central location for it, but you're looking at sharing from many different opportunities of this, and I think that will help control some of the cost.
Yeah, I agree. Well, as far as Westminster, mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about the National Cybersecurity Center being in Colorado Springs. What types of things do you see in Westminster? Are you looking to Colorado Springs to be the center, or are you also kind of trying to develop anything here in Westminster?
The discussions we've been having with the school districts and stuff are set up, can we set up some kind of a training program through our high schools so mm-hmm. the kids can start to learn about it at high school, earn college credit for it. By doing it at high school, it's free education to them. They don't have to pay extra for it. But we have to have enough of a level of interest, and we do that through communication to our schools, which in Westminster, myself and one of our other council members are already doing, to try to find a way to bring something like this to our local schools. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time. It's a process of going through them because they have certain curriculum requirements that they have to meet. This would almost be like an exemplary class where they go to as additional training. But if we can make that available to them at no cost, or even look at internships with companies who want to look at this as part of a program that they would put together as an intern program for them, still have the kids in high school going to work at a company on a part-time basis, mm-hmm. going to class to learn about this, and then also working in it in a day. When they graduate high school, they already have college credits that are established and accepted by a local school. Then that makes them that much more valuable of an entry-level employee because they have a certain amount of training that somebody else wouldn't just coming into the industry. If you look at that coming out of high school, they might have to go for another year, even 2 years, to get the associate's degree or certification program. That could potentially put them into the field working for at least 2 years before a four-year graduate would ever start at an mm-hmm. entry level. They've got 2 more years of experience. They've already moved up the employment ladder. They've already earned a higher level of income. And the big part of it is they've got a much smaller piece of debt out of it.
Yeah. So how long of a time frame do you see these programs rolling out? Looking at this year, next year?
I would say probably if we were lucky and we can get everybody to buy into it, which is, you know, it's a process that we have to go through, I would say the earliest that we would see the first of those classes might be 2018.
Okay. Interesting. So as far as companies, the internship, the program, the companies, and what do you have in Westminster that you know, as far as the corporate-wise, that is in cybersecurity, and what areas do you see that development in?
We have a number of large corporations that are here in Westminster that deal with security items, mm-hmm. and they have security programs they do, and I'm not at liberty to tell you who they are, but I would just tell you we have a number of primary employers that deal with security work. Because of what they do themselves.
Government contractors,
aerospace industry, satellite industries, it's across the board.
Okay.
And even in banking. Mm-hmm. We don't want to think about just big government operations, but something as simple as the financial part of a bank.
Yeah.
Those are still people that deal with cybersecurity.
Now, and I hear quite often people talking about military, banking, healthcare, mm-hmm. critical infrastructure.
Right.
I mean, there is literally 100 micro devices made that are out in our infrastructure for every PC that a human uses. Those networks, what we're seeing IoT, Internet of Things coming down the road, are much bigger, much more extensive. But yet, I don't hear many people focus on that when they talk about cyber. Do you have anything in the area, or are you looking at growth in that area?
I would tell you that my experience in talking to our service providers for power, gas, and other wind energy, whatever it is, they are already in this field. They're already looking at cybersecurity. They know what they're doing, at least in my conversations with them. This is not something that they're doing in the dark, mm-hmm. No pun intended, but they are very much understanding that the protection of their systems, whether it's an electrical grid, gas, whatever, is at risk. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that happen around the world, that people have hacked into systems and shut stuff down. So I think from the standpoint of my knowledge, and I don't have as near a depth of knowledge as they do of what's going on in their systems, and I don't need to. That's what they're there for. My conversations with the leaders of those industries here in the Colorado area said they are very much in tune with what's going on with cybersecurity and what they're doing to protect their systems. Again, job opportunities with those mm-hmm. people who have experience coming in and looking at networks and trying to figure out if there's been an attempt to hack into those. Again, employment bases. Again, with companies that are not only just here in Colorado, but their utility systems cross state borders. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal to make sure that they have a protected system.
Yeah. Well, I love your focus on making jobs and economic growth. That is very refreshing to hear that perspective, that everything we've talked about today is about training people, prosperity, bringing in companies, growing the workforce. That's good to hear. It's a positive upbeat. But kind of in closing, is there anything that you would like to get out to maybe our listeners about any efforts you have going on or things you need help with or from the city of Westminster?
Well, not just from Westminster, but I think this is a program that we can look at across the nation. How do we get people interested in this program? And we're looking at it more than just cybersecurity. I'm looking at it as opportunities to train and make employment for our youth coming out of school. Mm-hmm. But I think this is one big catalyst, because there are so many immediately available jobs, and we don't have the workforce available for it. We don't have the training available for it. So from a local standpoint, I would encourage any local official, talk to your local school districts, talk to your teachers, and start finding ways to work with them. Reach out to the private industry. Don't wait just on the government. Talk to the private industry. How can the industry, how can municipal governments, how can the school districts, how can the local colleges, regardless if it's 2-year or 4-year, work together to put together programs that will feed this workforce need, not only today, but as it's ongoing. This is not going to be something that's going to go away in a year or two. This is a long-term opportunity mm-hmm. to keep people employed.
Well, thank you. Thanks for joining today.
And you're quite welcome.
Definitely appreciate, like I said, the positivity upbeat on the economic development with cybersecurity.
Good enough. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
You too. The views or opinions expressed by me during this podcast are my own and are not those of my employer, Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.